Hello, this is Vlad, and you are listening to Olafil's Fantasy Podcast.
Jeff, it is, I almost said it's February, it's Friday. Friday. 3-day weekend, Friday. Thanks to our Lord and Savior, Martin Luther King. Middle January. Just so you know, we usually do the weather updates. It's 40 degrees today. The second winter is coming, or maybe even the first winter, since we never had one here in North Carolina. Will and Jeff here on the All the Fields Fantasy Podcast. Back with you again, rocking with you on a Friday. I got really nothing else, Jeff. How you doing, man?
Well, excited to be here. Like you said, Friday, 3-day weekend. The old MLK doing it up big. Weather out here, sunny Southern California. It was 40.
Yes, it was.
6 this morning, 46 this morning when I got in the car, so it was a little brisk. Rained last night, but I guess that's as wintry as we get out here in California. You know, we had our kind of a big conference this week, and we had a lot of people in from the East Coast and Midwest, and so they're like, "Oh, this is winter." They're walking around, they're short sleeves. They're like, "If we could wear shorts, I'd be in them right now." And, you know, meanwhile, the people from California are in their Canada Goose jackets. Yes. You know, they have their scarves. They got their hand warmers, their feet warmers. They're getting into it.
I texted my mom just yesterday saying, "Oh, what do you know? Still warmer than you guys." Because yesterday we were like 65. Just like the last 3 weeks has been nothing but just 60s. We haven't had a below 50 day since like the week before Christmas. So there you go. But now I think second winter is coming for us, and you know what? I'm ready for it. This is why I like North Carolina. We get all four seasons here, Jeffrey. And yes,
oh, yeah.
No scarves yet. That's the one. Although this morning when I was driving a little bit of Oobs, I saw a couple kids wearing their winter coats, and I was like, "Ah, oh, that's cute. Like it's time. It's time."
Yeah.
For 3-day weekend. You mentioned it, doing it up big. I am. I don't know what you have entailed, but it is a weekend full of debauchery. I am leaving for Vegas in about 8 hours. Give or take about 30 minutes. Can't wait to go. Gonna party up with Muff. Vlad, maybe he'll make an appearance. Got the concert tickets. Got the escape room. I did want to tell you something. I did spoil a little bit myself because it is a reunion tour for Scary Kids Scaring Kids. I tried really hard to stay off the YouTubes and the social media when it came to them. But I had to watch one. I just, you know what? It piqued my interest. I think people, you know, it's on Instagram. It's on YouTube, whatever. So I watched a video, or I was on Reddit, excuse me. I was on the post-hardcore Reddit, which is a good Reddit to follow if you want to try to find
some new bands. That's a deep hole if you want to get in there.
people were talking about it and posting videos, and I have to say, they look amazing. It is going to be a hell of a show. Apparently, the opening acts are awesome, too. I've heard of Secrets. I have not heard of Pushover, but Secrets I've heard of before. But this, it looks unbelievable. It looks like if you can picture a reunion tour of, like, you know, famous bands and all that stuff where everyone just knows the words and everyone sings and the band is all into it, energetic and moving all over the place. The lights look insane, the light show. It just looks like something that I am very, very excited for. I don't know if you were ever the big Scary Kids fan, but I guess you did not make it to a show since they are now out of California. Would that have been something you would have done if it weren't in Vegas? We're planning for it.
I mean, if we could rally that, I'll be honest. I liked a couple of their songs a lot. I wouldn't consider myself like an Uber fan. Yeah. So I feel like I would be standing around awkwardly for about half the show and just being like, yeah, I could vibe with this. But I mean, people are like yelling the words. I don't know the words, but that wouldn't have dissuaded me that much. I mean, I'm interested, Will, to see how the Vegas crowd is. I feel like we saw 303 with Muff. Oh my God, this had to be in like 06, maybe 07 in Vegas. It was fine. The Vegas crowd was good. So, you know.
Where was it in Vegas? Where was this?
Oh gosh. I want to say it was a House of Blues, but it was inside a hotel.
Yeah. They have one at the Hard Rock, I think.
That could be it.
I think it's at the Hard Rock. I'm not 100% sure. Okay, but you weren't even 21?
No, I don't think we were 21.
Wow!
Or I had like either that or I had just turned 21 and we took someone's van I remember we took a van and there were like the middle seats had been taken out for some reason, and that just got into
Wait, 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 wait. Was
all
this the
types of
Sam Hahn?
shenanigans
Was
on
this
the.
the Sam Hahn original D-Mobile van?
I don't know if it was the original D-Mobile. I'm also tempted to say it was Scotty's dad's like Astro work van that has like ratchet modifications, but I honestly can't
Well, we'd have
recall.
to
I
throw it
mean,
out some
Ask
fans.
Muff,
We'd have to throw it out some
Scotty definitely
fans.
remembers, so.
Yeah, we gotta throw it out and find out about this. I'm interested as well, though, with this Vegas scene because typically when you go into concerts that are not in a place that has 24-hour alcohol consumption, you can't go in inebriated or you can't bring in your own, that kind of thing. So what are the rules gonna be here when we try to go in? It's just it's the Fremont Country Club. It's just some like divey, whatever that a band like this would play at. I'm just interested to see what the rules are when it comes to how drunk you can be when you're there, before, after. Can you bring your own stuff? This is going to be quite the experience for us, and it'll be after a day full of sitting in front of sports television, just watching Premier League, the beginning UFC fights, basketball. Like it's going to be full of just drinks all day and just possibly losing, maybe winning some money, and then going to this place to see what's gonna happen. So I'm very excited about this. Probably gonna be a tight space, but
Oh, yeah.
I cannot wait for this and just Vegas in general, Jeffrey.
Yes. Alas, sad that we were not able to rally a larger crew, but I know that it's you and Moth, right? No one else or other
This far,
people?
I mean, I almost got a little tangent here. I almost got my buddy Mason, who's from here. Really good friend of mine. He turned 21 like 6 months ago or whatever. So obviously he has no idea what Vegas is. And I texted him. I kid you not. I texted him on Monday, and I said, "Dude, flights are still there. Is a one-way flight for $67,
Ooh.
nonstop on Saturday." So he would have met us, Saturday night. And he got the day off, the days he needed to. But the flight back was the troubling part. So he was just like, the flight back was like 180.
Yeah, that's a
So I
loop.
told him, though, I was like, all you gotta do is fly there, because you know what, you win your flight back. That's what you do. And if you don't, you stay. Like, I just don't. You stay until you win your flight
Desert
back.
takes you at that point.
But I almost had him go, and then of course we have Seaball at 25-1 odds to join us for the debauchery in Vegas. So I want to keep this moving here. Have you heard of America's Top Dog?
Oh yeah, I saw it on, I've seen the previews. I haven't seen any of the actual show.
Oh.
It seems extremely interesting. I think when I first saw the commercial, I was like, America's Top Dog is this? I didn't know which way to go, if it was like American Ninja Warrior or America's Next Top Model or what are we doing here? Like how is this going to be determined? And then, I mean, it seems like you watched it. It seems like it's kind of like a canine kind of skills challenge, fitness thing. I don't know. Give us a rundown,
All
though.
right, so I've only watched the second episode I have recorded, but the first episode I watched, and it is the former, what you said. It's American Ninja Warrior for dogs. But the best part is, so you know nothing else about it, right?
Nothing really.
Okay,
Yeah.
so the contestants, well, the dogs and their owners. The best part about this is it's five dogs. Four of them are police-trained dogs, SWAT team
Okay.
dogs, NSA, NSA? Why am I saying NSA?
Probably not at
No,
NSA.
not NSA. Wow.
FBI? I don't know.
The drug ones. E
Oh,
E
DEA?
DEA. Wow. NSA.
I was like,
DEA.
dogs are on a computer. I
Dog.
gotta hack the
Hey,
Chinese
you
real
never
quick.
know.
Woof, woof, woof.
You never know, dude. If they need to. Yeah. All highly
Edward Snowden's
skilled.
dog on there?
All
What?
highly skilled trained dogs. But then there's one, domestic dog, like house,
Oh.
whatever. Whether they train them on their own is their own thing. Because the one we saw, he was like a trained dog, like in other words, he would do tricks and stuff, but he wasn't anything like the dogs he competed against. And he beat out what he came in third, I believe, out of five. So I thought that was pretty interesting to see that part, because I was rooting for that one. I was like, oh, come on, Skippy, you can do it. But it's cool, man. They give you like they do like they put scents to try to do on hidden items. They have to find the hidden item as if they were sniffing out drugs or whatever. They have to go through like cars and go over water, which was one of the police trained dogs wouldn't do it. You know how like my dog is, most dogs are scared of like the grates you see on the ground, like storm grates or storm drains or whatever. And they had to go over like a water bridge kind of, which had holes in it. And this dog just wouldn't do it. So the police officer had to pick up the dog and go across the bridge. It was like really cute, but it was like also, wow, dude, I know how to get away from that cop dog. Just go over some water. But and very water. Entertaining. I definitely recommend it. I definitely look it up. It's definitely a family affair show. I'm sure the Korgs and the wife would love to watch it. Little Moogs.
Korg would be going ape. He loves German Shepherds, so I'm sure he would just be barking his head off.
Really? He barks at the TV?
No, he only barks when there's like knocks, like doorbells on TV and stuff like that.
So. I mean, everyone does. Yeah. Jeff, tell me about The Outsider. It's HBO. I believe it's a Stephen King show, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Stephen King novel directed by Jason Bateman.
Oh.
So originally I was thinking, you know, Will probably won't like this. It's kind of like a true crimey, like they've captured an innocent man, you know, and all this stuff. I was like, oh, they're going to go through the whole process and it's going to be like, you know, a little played out. But then I would say end of episode one, massive twist. So there's just been a lot of twists and there's only been two episodes. It's very like supernatural thriller now. So it's taken a sharp turn. You know, I'm not saying get that HBO subscription back on there because that's kind of a large investment. Okay. Well then, yeah, if you got it, check it out. I mean, it's not like, it's just interesting, you know, it's hooked me. It's hooked me at this point.
That's good because actually Sunday night Curb Your Enthusiasm comes back. So that'll give me a nice little double dip. You know, it's like I'm already on the app. You know, I might as well just watch two of these things. It's an hour, I would assume, right?
Yeah, hour. They're an hour.
HBO. It's not TV. It's HBO. I think I'm going to dip in that. The twist, you got me hooked. You already got me hooked. I watched the Don't F With Cats. One episode was enough. It was great. The first episode was enthralling, but you already texted you my inner thoughts on this. It just lasted too long. It should have ended after the first episode or maybe the second episode. Too many fake twists and fake turns. All right, come back to us, Manny Lopez, whatever the hell your name is. Last thing I want to get into, Jeff, before I like the thing you wrote under this. The most shocking thing of the week. This is – I don't know if this is going to become a thing because we did have the Twitter tirades of myself at one point in time. This is going to shock you. I don't know if it is. We'll find out. Did you know that this week with a 75% score on Rotten Tomatoes – it's Bad Boys for Life.
I did know. I was very confused that it was made and they decided to reboot the Bad Boys, you know.
Not reboot.
Story,
it's
I guess. Well, sequel, you know. They're that desperate for money. 75, though. I mean.
And we're not talking out of like three reviews. Like, first of all, after 15 reviews, it was at 100%.
Wow.
And it's at like 60 reviews or something now, but it's at 75%. It is a critical or critic. I am like stumbling over my words right now. It is just a darling by the critics. There we go. How about that? And whether it makes money or not, who knows about that. But that is the most shocking thing. I thought this was destined to be like a 15% or, you know, the cash grab is back with two old dudes. One's very bloated. You know, in this, but I guess they recaptured the magic of the first Bad Boys. I mean, Bad Boys 2, I don't know if you've ever seen the movies.
It's been a while.
Bad Boys 2 is kind of weird. But I can't believe it. So that is the most shocking thing of the week for me. Congrats to Martin Lawrence and Will Smith. Perhaps Will Smith has finally ended his 10-movie drought of successes here.
Yeah, I mean – are we going to get a Bad Boys 4, I guess is the question
first of all,
now.
It's called Bad Boys 4 Life. I'm not sure why how they couldn't see that one coming. If this is number 3, why would they call this one 4 Life? So maybe this is definitely going to be
Bad Boys Forever coming next.
Hey, they don't call them the best in the biz for nothing, guys. Yeah. Jeff, what have you got for me on this baseball cheating scandal?
For those who don't know, there's an embroiling scandal in the Major League Baseball. Astros, their GM and coach are suspended for a year. There's people being fired. Mm-hmm. My favorite part of the whole thing, essentially, they were using a camera or they're scouting from the outfield and communicating that to the dugout. And the best part is, then they used the trash can to notify the batter of what the signal was. Just wanted to hear your thoughts. Well, I mean, you have interesting takes, and I just thought it was. I've heard a lot
it
of.
It's a little deeper. It's a little deeper than what you think.
Oh, deeper than that.
So the trash can was kind of the start of it.
Oh.
And now there's videos of whistling, where you can hear. So the player would whistle. It was in the World Series against the Dodgers, which of course the Astros ended up winning. There's a video now, a very lengthy video. If you hear a whistle in the theme of charge, you know, do 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 do, that means it was a changeup or something. And then if you hear a regular whistle, just a straight up loud whistle, it was a fastball. And it's just nonstop, just boom boom boom. And the video is good because it also showed like they still got out sometimes, but they would still swing. Like they would always swing. But this was a game where the Astros ended up winning like 12-10 or something. So like the Dodgers were still in it.
Yeah.
So the controversy here is like, first of all, I think it's awful. People are saying, oh, you know, stealing signs, it's part of the game. You must not have ever played. No, stealing signs means I'm on second base. I think I know the signs, so I'm gonna try my best to tell the hitter, you know, in a split second, you know, if I can see the sign because I'm using my eyes and my brain. I'm not using a video camera and a TV monitor and a trash can and a bat and a whistle to kind of relay the message because you're not using your eyes. You're using a camera. And furthermore, more stuff is coming out that not only did they use whistling and trash cans, they also somehow fastened electronic buzzers onto their bodies when they were batting. So underneath their jersey – they would have a wire. This is all alleged. You know, this is hearsay for now. It all started out with hearsay. And it would, I guess, vibrate against their body or something to signal something. And there's more videos coming out again. And one of these videos is Jose Altuve hits a game-winning home run against the Yankees in their playoff series in that season. And as he's running down home plate, or he says, and you can see it in his mouth, he says, "Don't rip off my jersey. I'm wearing it. Don't, or I'm wearing a piece, or I have a piece," something like that. He says, "Don't rip off my jersey. Don't rip off my jersey. I have a piece. I have a piece." And when they win, he crosses home plate. The whole team is celebrating. He immediately goes to, like, he does not celebrate. He runs straight to the locker room, comes back out with a different shirt on. So people are saying, he's saying, "I have to pee."
Conspiracy theories.
"I have to pee. I have to pee," or something, which is why he goes to the locker room. But why would he need his jersey? Like, it's just a very interesting thing going on right now. And I hate it, by the way. I've already hated, you know, baseball's been kind of slow. Anyway, whatever. But I think this is huge. And you already mentioned the two people who got suspended for a year. Well, the owner ended up just firing them. So they still can't work for a year, but now it's not with the Astros. The Red Sox manager has now been fired, or whatever they called it. They mutually agreed to part ways because he worked on that team as a assistant coach on the Astros. He ended up getting a job with the Red Sox after that. And guess what? The Red Sox won the series the next year.
Dun,
so,
dun,
dun. And then the Mets coach, Carlos Beltran, who's played forever baseball, he was also an assistant on that Astros team. And he is no longer the manager anymore either. So a bunch of people have suffered, except for, you know, the players who did it, which is kind of funny. There's been players who have been named, and the Dodgers feel kind of ripped off, which is fair. I mean,
of course.
Would they have won? I don't know.
Was that the series where they were leading like 3-0 and then the Astros came back? Or was
no,
that
I
the year
anyone,
before? I don't know.
They might have been winning 3-1, but I don't. I couldn't tell you that because I just, you know, I took me forever to remember who won this year's World Series.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, it was the Nationals, but I totally.
Oh, yeah.
I totally forgot. Guess what? They beat the Astros. So, interesting.
Oh.
Wait, did they? I don't know. I think, yeah, they did. They beat the Astros.
Yeah, they did.
but this is great. I hope this is, okay, so I hate it, but I love it. That makes sense. Like, keep it coming.
Oh, yeah.
Like, give me all the intrigue. Give me all this cheating. And then Eric Mickelson just sent me a picture, by the way. The Patriots have just hired the Astros coaches because they to quote Bill, it says Bill Belichick, they practice the same values that the Patriots.
Oh, yeah.
They share our values, Belichick said of his new staff. That's great.
Yeah. Gotta get that scout tape plug film it out into there. My veins. The Bengals.
Let's keep this this cheating going. I love it, but I hate it at the same time. Woo!
That was quite the off the top. A lot of things. Let's get into the NFL though, Will. Maybe start with some somber news. Luke Kuechly retiring early, kind of a shocker. Five time All Pro. Hometown here. Oh, I imagine. What's the mood like in Charlotte?
Oh, it's very.
It's got to be somber.
It's very somber. When I got the text, I was actually watching something. Ashley, no phones, but I got on my watch, and I was like, oh. All it said was my friend Joe texted me. Oh, can't believe he retired. Kind of saw it coming with the concussions, though. So I thought he was talking about Brandon Cooks because I was like, oh, yeah, about time. Brandon Cooks going to have straight brain trauma for the next 30 years of his life.
Oh, yeah.
And then when I saw it on my phone, I was like, oh, damn. Like, that was pretty crazy. And if – did you watch the video of him announcing it?
No, I haven't.
So if you watched it, it's kind of creepy. If you would have watched this and you thought, and you're watching like a movie, you would have thought it was like a ransom video or a hostage video. Mainly because
he's like reading off
his like, he's like crying and you can tell it kind of looks like it's not his decision, if that makes sense. Mm.
Yeah.
Like he's saying, like, he says, I want to keep playing. I love playing, you know, I wish I could, but I can't, you know, for my family and all that stuff. And he's like holding back tears and crying. And it's like, if I'd have known any better, someone's like holding a gun to your head, like from the other side, yeah. of the camera. Somber news here. Debate going if he's going to go in the Hall of Fame. Very interesting, because you know Patrick Willis kind of you know did the same thing. Having all these players, Andrew Luck, more or less Antonio Brown, kind of just going crazy or just calling it quits. But very shocking, I think, and. It's just he's only 28, I think, years old. Is this something that's going to come up, you know, more and more often? I think so. I think more and more players are going to realize what's happening to their bodies, and they're making a lot more money now, so they don't need to play for 10 years. They can play for 5-6 years, support their life and their families, and then call it over. So good on him for kind of realizing and walking away on his own terms, hopefully.
Exactly.
Unless the doctor said, like, you have straight brain damage.
Yeah. That's probably what they said. They're like, if you suffer another concussion, here's what can happen. And kind of to your point, I also like the medical technology and the screening is getting better and they're learning more. And so I think we're just going to see a lot more to your point. Like, guys are going to play that rookie deal to get that big contract, play a couple years on it. And then I think, you know. Weigh the wear and tear on their body versus continuing to play.
Yeah, because if you continue, you might end up like Antonio Brown. And the reason why I wrote him on this is because he just can't stay out of the news. He also just can't stay off his phone. And I think that's like the big thing is he recorded, of course, because he loves to do this, a live video of himself interacting with police and one of his – I don't know which woman this is, but the mother of – I don't know if it's all his children or not. Not sure. Just getting into a verbal argument with these – everyone, just recording, you know, fighting with the woman, fighting with the cops, all on camera just because he loves to do it. And I didn't know this, but he was a part of, like, some police football league in Florida, and they severed ties with him now. And this is the funny part – well, not the funny part, but the crazy part. They returned all the money he's ever donated.
Wow.
That's insane. They're like, they are just pretty much pretending that they never had anything to do with him because of this video and because how insane he is. And one of the shows I listen to, Levitard, kind of always comes up and says, like, we're going to find out in 15 years that he has CTE or something like just – or something has happened to him. I guess it'd be longer than 15 years because they can only test that when you're dead, I believe. They're going to find this out that he is just insane. All these hits, like that one hit he took in 2014. I believe we were actually together, me, you, Shay, and Ashley.
Could have been.
I think we were in at Mohegan Sun.
The Mohegan.
It was when he got hit by Denver Broncos. Was it the Broncos? No. The Bengals.
Bengals,
and
yeah.
They ended up playing the Broncos the next week and losing because they didn't have Antonio Brown. But he got knocked out, and we were in the Mohegans. Look at that. Throwing it back.
Ooh, it like 6 years ago.
But I think that's something that just has everlasting trauma on him. And he's just insane. I don't know what's going to happen. Is he going to play for the XFL? Who knows?
He has that, you know, music career to fall back on.
That's right. Singles, dropping dimes. Secret drops like Eminem. But I think Antonio Brown is just borderline insane. And just wanted to throw that out there. Just staying in the headlines, Jeff. Staying in the headlines. Antonio Brown.
Well, his agent quit on him, so I don't think he's going to be getting any gigs.
Did you see the Adam Schefter tweet?
No.
I mean, I am not a fan of his tweets, but he had an absolute gold tweet. He tweeted out, you know, Drew Rosenhaus severs ties, just the news story, right?
Yep.
So then Antonio Brown retweets Adam Schefter with a comment and says some sort of gibberish. I don't know what it was, but just like, you know, just like I really have no idea what it said. It was gibberish. So then Adam Schefter replies to Antonio Brown and says, "Thanks for the retweet." I mean,
got him.
Yeah, that was pretty legit. I was like, "Hey, good on you, Adam." Keeping Antonio Brown in the news, and now Antonio Brown with no agent, of course, gonna be rocking the streets. Gucci just kicked me. What in the world are you having a bad dream?
Whoa!
His eyes just opened up. Okay, I wanted to write this here because and this is just more NFL news. It's slow. It's, you know, slow time of year up until, you know, Super Bowl and all that, and of course championship weekend. All these coaches who have just been kind of going around, and call it what you will, they're old white dudes. That's, you know, they're old white dudes who have been doing it for 10, 15, 20 years. Pat Shurmur already has another job. He's with the Broncos. Ben McAdoo has interviewed with the Panthers and the Jaguars now.
Oh my gosh.
We already talked about Mike McCarthy a little bit last week, but I just wanted to kind of bring him back up because he kind of fits in line with all these. These are all former, like, offensive gurus. That's kind of what I'm getting at here.
Yeah.
And then Scott Linehan.
This one got me.
I mean, Mike McCoy.
Mike McCoy.
Getting an interview. That guy, he has fallen so fast off the face of the earth. But who are we interviewing? We're interviewing Mike McCoy. I mean, look what happens, you know, when you get someone. Brian Flores for the Dolphins. Already an amazing coach because he took that garbage team to a 5-11 record. Eric Bieniemy is a guy on the Chiefs who people thought was going to get coaching jobs. Of course, he didn't. Robert Saleh for the 49ers. Everyone thought he was going to get one. Barely got a sniff. Marvin Lewis was somehow getting trotted around, interviewed, but that's just because you have to interview someone of a minority candidate to get that kind of Rooney Rule filled. But what are we doing here, Jeff? Like, what are we doing interviewing Scott Linehan, Mike McCoy, Ben McAdoo, Pat Shurmur, all these dudes just going around a circle? It's a little carousel. Like, oh, I got fired from this team, I'll go work for this team. I got fired from this team, I'll go interview for this team. What is keeping these coaches and owners, like, just keeping the same thing going? You know, is it just if it ain't broke, don't fix it? Because this is bad. This is bad look for the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah, Mike McCoy, that one shocked me a little bit. I mean, I think he's been pretty well figured out that he's not a very good offensive coach. He should be coaching, be like an OC in D2 college or something like that.
Wow.
I'm sure he's good.
Wow, maybe shots. D2. I mean, yeah.
The Mighty Ducks.
It's bad. It's bad with the D. Wow. Good job. Get that knuckle puck. I just want to see more diversity here. And I'm not doing that to be Mr. PC. I'm doing that because I'm sick of watching Mike McCoy's plays. That's what I'm sick of. It has nothing to do with who is or isn't a job. It's just, you know, he just – the fact that he still gets them is just mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, I know.
And I guess one more.
Crazy.
What are we doing part two? Again, more criminally insane people. OBJ. So first of all, handing out money to college players. That's fine. I don't understand the upset. The part about that is weird. I don't get it. He can do what the hell he wants with his money.
Exactly.
The butt slap controversy, though. Give me your take on this. I saw the video. You saw the video. is he going to jail, Jeff?
I don't think he's going to jail. He'll probably just have to apologize. I mean, it's I mean, I think there was some, I don't know, the security guard was being a little intrusive, but then again, I mean, we spoke about it in a little pre-pod rundown. I mean, the aggressiveness of the slap was somewhat egregious. I mean, you just need to give him a little tap in a little good game and throw that cash around. But I don't think we're, maybe a small settlement that we won't hear about, but yeah, I don't think he's doing any time, or I feel like this will, I don't know. Maybe he's like, maybe to Antonio Brown talk, he's going to keep this in the news, keep him in the headlines, and, you know, keep doing that baller's acting career on, I think that's, is that HBO or Showtime?
That is HBO. I didn't even know he was on there. I stopped after 2 seasons, I believe.
He's very prominently featured in this latest season. So.
Oh, maybe that's the drop in play then, I guess so. I can't believe he did it, though. That was insane. And then it's like he did it. It's like, you know, when you do something wrong and then you kind of know you did something wrong. So there's that, like, awkward silence for, like, 3 seconds.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of Ashley Simpson when she messed up on Saturday Night Live.
Yep.
She, like, stood there and, like, didn't know what to do, so she just started dancing. And that's what he did. He did
look
it.
Over here.
He's like, and he just started being OBJ. He gave the smile and just started, like, did. I was like, what? And then the cop walked away, which was kind of weird. Like, he stopped what he was doing. And the cop was kind of being overly copy. Like, he was going to all the players, it looked like. He's like, excuse me, sir, can I see what's in that Gatorade? Like, is that alcohol? I mean, you couldn't really hear, I guess, but it was like he was like inspecting their drinks or something. And I was like, dude, these guys just won, you know, a national championship and are making essentially no money, you know, off of this secretly. And you're going around checking if kids are drinking alcohol right now. Like, you know, go find the cat killer. How about that? Why don't you go do that instead?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not gonna get. I pay your bills. Yeah. So. Good on OBJ for making fun of something, but yeah, I don't think he's. And I know it's like he's getting charged with like what, simple battery or whatever the hell it is. So good on the cops. You know, thank you for your service, policeman. Right, Jeff?
Oh yeah, just serving and protecting.
I digress. I digress. Let's get to the real meat and potatoes here. Championship weekend. I want to do a little quick recap of this past week in football. I wrote, you know, in bold, like what kind of happened here. The 49ers easily just dismantled the Vikings. They covered too, that 7-point spread. All these spreads, we talked about how big they were. The Titans shock the Ravens. I mean, just destroyed them, really. It wasn't even as close as it looked. I don't know, the final score, I think, was 28-12, or I can't quite remember what the final score was. But didn't really even have a chance. Derrick Henry just destroying the Ravens, even though in the beginning he kind of did get stopped a little bit. But as that game goes on, it's just like, I guess they just, no one can tackle him. The Chiefs.
What's like the difference though? Like obviously previous years, people could tackle him. Mm-hmm. So is it just the blocking and he's just getting up to speed a little bit more? And that's,
I'll tell you what the difference
people
is.
From
I'll tell you what the difference
down?
Is. There's no exotic smash mouth anymore. And it kind of started last season. Remember how last season ended? Derrick Henry was the talk of the town, and in fantasy purposes, we were still like, we're not taking him, we're not buying into it. But I think Vrabel and that offensive staff, Arthur, whatever the heck his name is, kind of instilled a new way of just, we're just going downhill, we're not subbing you out, like we're not doing this 18 carries and 10 carries for Deion freaking Lewis. Like, no, you're getting 30 carries, you're gonna wear these people out. And we're going to put in Tannehill, too. That obviously helped a lot this season.
Oh, yeah.
The threat of a pass as opposed to this Mariota thing. And just, I think it's just the attitude. Like you kind of mentioned the offensive line also as well. But it's the play calling. I think they know that Derrick Henry is fast, too. Like, he can go outside. He can do screen passes or screen catches. As opposed to, we're running a toss sweep. Let's bring in Deion Lewis. So Vrabel has kind of made it happen, and they're doing the real smash mouth. We're going to run downhill and up you and run into you and make you tired and make you tackle him. And no one wants to tackle him. Like, I saw a tweet that said, Derrick Henry right now is a personal business decision. Like, that's what he is. He is a, I'm not going to tackle him because I need to make a contract. You know, I don't want to get hurt.
Yep.
Yeah, and if we want to talk about the Ravens a little bit, I mean, you know, Lamar come back to us in the playoffs, dude.
Well, yeah, I mean, not a team that was made to come from behind, I guess. But it was shocking. It was, I mean, I thought they would be competitive. I didn't think it would be the kind of blowout that it was at a certain point.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't even watching. I was at work for the first half, and I was getting texts saying, you know, 14-0 Titans. Derrick Henry threw a pass. I was like, what? Well, this is the time I'm not watching football. Derrick Henry's throwing touchdowns. Excited though.
Yeah, it was not pretty, but it happened.
Yeah, it sounds this week. The Chiefs Texans game, that was just insane.
That was a banger.
It was 24-0. You were in the text when I said, I'm pretty sure I texted you the odds. I was like, I just want to bet the Chiefs right now. And yet it was only 3-1 odds for the Chiefs to come back from a 24-0 deficit on a gambling pod I listened to. Usually it's 7-1. It's around 7 or 8-1 when a team goes down 24-0 to put money on them. So that's the respect wow. Patrick Mahomes gets and the Chiefs get. It's like 3-1. God, it's not even that good. Like, they're down by 3 touchdowns and 2-point conversions. And I'm only getting 3-1 odds. But they cover, too. They come back and they just cover the 9.5-point spread. They get the 51 by themselves for that over-under. Can't wait for that game against the Titans. And the Packers barely covered their 4 points against the Seahawks. That was a very strange game to watch. And when the Seahawks went for 2 near the end of the game, I was like, well, here you go. Here's the point spread right here. Because if they get it, they cover. If they don't, they don't cover. And they did not get it. And the lack of the running game really hurt the Seahawks. Marshawn Lynch is fun to watch. But he just – him and Travis Homer just can't get it done. So we got the Packers and the Niners, Chiefs and the Titans. 2 rematches from earlier in the season as well.
And you watched that game. You were the tape dog on that.
Hey, you remember my live?
You hit the tape.
I mean, I forgot to write the description. I live recapped Titans Chiefs in our pod last week. I guess for good reason. I guess it was just a sign of things to come. That was in Tennessee, I believe. If I do recall, yeah, it was in Tennessee. You know, however much that means, who knows.
Was Mahomes kind of nicked up in that game as well, or was
it? Remember, I quizzed you. I quizzed you. That was a full strength go on both sides of the ball, both teams.
Wow.
With Tannehill involved, everything. So good on. I can't wait for that game as well. Green Bay, San Francisco. I mean, hoo boy, they played already this year, and San Francisco destroyed Green Bay. It was like 30-8 or something. We'll see if that kind of happens again. Both spreads are around 7, 7.5. And the over-under is 52.5 for Tennessee and Kansas City, 46.5 for San Francisco, Green Bay. Kind of on the lower side there. They're kind of expecting these defenses to kind of show up a little bit. What do you got for me, Jeff, on these 2 games?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I never saw the Tennessee beating Baltimore. I thought Baltimore would control them. It just seemed like a series of unfortunate events for Baltimore and the Titans. Little lemony snakes, and you know, the Titans, I mean, they're legit, and it's not like Kansas City's defense is built to slow them down too much. Maybe, I mean, everyone was raving about the Ravens defense. See what I did there. But I mean, Kansas City's offense is just another beast to contend with. I mean, even if they're not scoring 21 points in 3.5 minutes, they still are just extremely difficult to contend. I mean, speed everywhere. You got Sammy Watkins, Travis Kelce, big bodies going across the field. I mean, where was this Damian Williams play when you had him in the fantasy season, Will? So there's just a lot of weapons, tough to defend. I mean, Tennessee also, you know, they also have weapons. I'm not discounting anything Tannehill or Henry has done. It's just not to the same level. And I think being at KC also helps the Chiefs as well. I mean, that's a tough environment. You get those, some would say, off-color chants going, and it gets pretty raucous. I like the Chiefs here. I obviously have all of them in my playoff challenge. I predicted them to go to the Super Bowl. So I'm going KC. Now, I do think the spread is maybe – I think it's to their previous meeting. I think it's going to be closer than – I don't think they're going to beat them by more than a touchdown, so I would maybe go Tennessee with the points, but I think Kansas City is going to win the game.
Right now the weather is freezing. There was someone just tweeted, I think CBS Tracy Wolfson said the airport is currently frozen.
Oh.
Yeah, so they can't even, no planes can take off or land, apparently. As far as the weather, let's see. Right now it's 30, there's a wintry mix, but on Sunday we have, oh, okay, it's going to be sunny, 25 degrees.
Brisk.
Yeah, low of 7. But that game is the early game, I believe, so that'll be at 3 p.m. Eastern time, so it'll be 25 degrees for there. I don't think this weather's not going to be an impact, because I remember Kansas City played the Colts last year in the snow. And Kansas City just that had no bearing on their offense. I think this is the kind of game, I mean, we always kind of say, you know, if so-and-so gets out to a lead, you know, it'll be hard for the other team to catch up. If Kansas City, let's say, goes up to a 14-0 lead and it's the second quarter, do you think Tennessee can catch up? If you know, if it gets to 21-28, not saying point lead, but just, you know, can they hang? What if Kansas City hangs up, you know, 40 points just like they did last week? Can Tennessee, you know, do that and keep up with them at a fast pace? Because we all see that Kansas City can erase a lead in a matter of minutes or just score in a matter of minutes. Tennessee might try to play what they did in that first game, which was they just ran the hell out of Derrick Henry. I think they can do it, but can the defense kind of step up one more time against this Chiefs offense? I don't know. I do think the over will hit. I like the over at 52.5.
Yeah.
I don't know if Tennessee can keep it. Seven's always tough for me when it's a really good offense, because it could be a close game, but still be 7 points. You know what I mean? Like, just one, two, like they can be driving down 7. I'll take Tennessee though. I'll take Tennessee with the points. Who do I want to win? I think that's a question here. Who do I want to win? I think I want the Chiefs to win.
Yeah.
It's hilarious though that this, like, how I'm just okay with Tennessee now. You know what I mean? Like, how I've done a 180 on them after the last 4 years of just hating everything about that team. It would be funny to see Tannehill in a Miami Super Bowl with a different team. I mean, that'd be riveting television to watch him kind of parading
ultimate
down
revenge.
Radio Roge. But hey, I remember all you guys. Hey, what's up? What's up, guys? Remember me? But I think I'll pick Tennessee in this game. Mahomes in the Super Bowl against any of the other two teams is a ratings draw, I think. I think Tennessee makes the Super Bowl. It's a great story, but no one is going to be as intrigued as to see Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. So let's move on to this next game, Jeff. Green Bay at San Francisco, 7.5 points, 46.5 over under. Who you got?
This one I don't think is, you know, it's shocking with Aaron Rodgers on the field. I don't think it's as close. I just think the defensive front for San Francisco looked absolutely nasty last game. Just the mobile Russell Wilson just getting tossed around, just stuffing that run game. Don't think just the lack of weapons. It's Davante Adams and Aaron Jones. And I feel like that'll be an easy, you know, maybe not the easiest on the Davante Adams side, but I feel like they can definitely contain them. And then you're dealing with the likes of Lazard and the ghost of Jimmy Graham. Like, I mean, come on. San Francisco's offense isn't exactly anything to, you know, scream about, but I think they'll do their normal ball control, run the ball, Jimmy G, easy passes, getting guys open with, you know, little Debo here and there, maybe some other guys. But I think I'm just very confident in San Francisco's ability. I think, you know, they're playing well. They're getting healthy on the defensive side of the ball at the right time. And they got my boy Ben Garland on that playing center. He's going to have his hands full. I don't remember which of the Smiths he's going to have to work with, but this guy's playing center in the NFL. Well, guess what position he played in college?
Well, I'm going to take a guess because I didn't listen to the pod yet.
It was not discussed.
Okay, good. Saving room for that on the flight. I'm going to go with, let's see, I'll go with center.
No. Played defensive end at Air Force.
Of course, the classic turnaround. Yeah. So he knows all the moves.
Oh, yeah, he knows the moves. I mean, he's also put on quite a bit of weight, so, I mean, good on him.
So you're taking San Francisco. Are you taking the points?
Yes.
Woo!
Oh yeah. I'm
San
taking the
Francisco.
points and
It is a pretty low over under.
we go under, I guess. It's tough. That's a good line.
I think I'm going to agree with you on both San Francisco and the under. I do have my concerns about Aaron Rodgers playing a team again after getting throttled. I do think he can kind of fix some of the mistakes they had. He did an interview saying, you know, the first game is what happens when everything goes wrong and it just snowballs. He said that we can correct everything, and he's confident that they will at least not only put up a fight but win. So we'll see how they do. They just can't. It is funny. Again, the Niners got up to like a 28-0 lead in that game, or a 21-0 lead in that game, and you were like, well, if a team could come back, it's the Packers. They just didn't. They just could not do it. And when the Packers lose, when they've lost this year, they got killed. Remember, they lost to the Chargers by like 20 points. I mean, God, that's unbelievable. So when they lose, they do lose. So that's why I think it's a good thought on that. I mean, Niners, Chiefs, I'm in. I'm in for
Spicy.
that. That's a very spicy matchup. NFC
Spicy
West again
meatball.
representing in the Super Bowl. I mean, how many NFC West teams are making the Super Bowl? My God, Cardinals, come
My
back to us.
friend.
Seahawks, Rams, Niners. One last thing before we move on to the playoff challenge and get out of here. How fitting is it? I think I tweeted this to you, or I sent this to somebody, that the Ravens and Lamar Jackson, they lost to a former wide receiver who plays quarterback in Ryan Tannehill. I thought that was a perfect fitting to the Lamar Jackson should be a wide receiver talk. Well, he lost to a wide receiver that plays quarterback in Ryan Tannehill. So how about that?
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah,
Oh yeah.
that is a little spice.
So let's get to some collusion here. I'm not sure what's
Collusion.
going on with this playoff challenge. I haven't reached out to the Ansel yet, but I will at some point, I believe. If
He's one of
anything,
the big teams in question,
I
so.
know, I know. I do have a theory that maybe the chicanery will end, but I am in ninth place right now. I have Derrick Henry. I have all the Chiefs. Derrick Henry gave me a blistering, whatever, 60 points last week, and Travis Kelce as well got me the 50 or 60 points. So I've got them on the 3x bonus as well as a couple of. So I'm in it. I'm in it. But the chicanery, you know. First and se the top two teams have the exact same amount of points, which is fine. But if you look at their lineups, and I told you to do some digging, and you did, it's been the exact same lineup since the first week. I mean, we're talking the Raven player they picked, the Saints player they picked. I mean, it was like the three Saints, the same exact three Saints. And what's bugging me is that they're in the same slot too, which is kind of weird, if that makes sense. So,
Oh, I didn't go that far down the rabbit
So they
hole.
could have, you know,
Man.
what if they would have picked Kamara in slot one and Damian Williams in slot two, and the next person did Damian Williams? No, it's all the same. Literally the exact same. Michael Thomas was the slot two receiver, et cetera, et cetera. The only thing that is making me think maybe that this might have been an accident is because if you read the comments on the playoff challenge, he wrote that there are 57 entries, but 55 are counting. So maybe he wrote 50,
Maybe that's one of
57
them.
entries, but 55 slots. Two slots aren't participating. So maybe that means, you
Interesting.
know, maybe it was an accident. I don't know. But after this week, and you know, it is called Hey Chief, by the way, which is interesting because he is a Chiefs fan as well. Like, I don't know what's going on here. So interesting how we have two slots, the exact same. After this weekend, more digging will be needed. But I'm excited. I have a shot. Just need the two randos I picked to come through for me. So, Jeff, you said you thought you had Kelce last week, and I don't know what happened. Did you not have Tevin Coleman?
No, I had the Mostert. I had Mostert. So I was watching the Texans Chiefs game, and I was getting excited because I was like, Damian Williams is getting a touchdown, Travis Kelce is getting a touchdown. I was like, I got these guys on bonus. I'm getting back into this thing. And then I go back and I'm like, I have Kittle. Dang it. But what can you do? What can you do? And then I was like, oh, well, I'm gonna have everyone on bonus this week. And then I looked at all the top people. I was like, okay, everyone has everyone on bonus this week. So that's fine.
I guess
I'll
that's what
just
happens when you're in a league with a bunch of Chiefs fans, and the Chiefs end up winning it all. or at least, you know, going this far.
Yeah.
But a lot of, I mean, that's a, we had a lot, a big, big entry this year. And I remember this time last season, I was done after the first week, probably. So it's nice that I have a little slim bit of hope right here, especially going into the Vegas weekend, you know. I mean, you never know.
Oh, yeah.
A little hope can turn into something.
Yep. You gotta, I mean, the top people have Packers in the final. So as long as you go contrarian to that, then you should be good to go.
Little tease, I did. I chose, who did I choose? Oh, I chose, I chose Tevin Coleman. I feel like they might switch it up again. I'm going to have to do some research on that Packers Niners game from earlier the year and see what's going on there to make sure I don't mess that up. And I'm choosing Emmanuel Sanders as the other fill-in. So go Niners, right? Go Niners and Chiefs.
Oh,
although,
yeah.
Again, if Henry ends up winning.
That's a big bell bottom.
If Henry ends up winning, I mean, that's going to be a doozy of points right there. A little three times bonus on that Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
There we go. Championship weekend. Vegas weekend.
Champ is here.
MLK weekend. The champ is here. Jeff, I'm going to – maybe I can watch some of that Outsider on the plane tonight. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll get a little Wi-Fi, watch some HBO on the plane. Maybe they'll have it on the seats. Who knows? I am in one of the biggest planes I've ever seen. I looked on the app. It is coming from London, so you already know it's a big plane. 41 rows. And it's two seats, four seats, two seats in a row.
Oh, yeah.
So
a little international banger going to Vegas.
This is going to be hell of a ride. Can't wait. Going to start getting my got my little drink on before this. And Gucci's still asleep, but we're going to go for a W-A-L-K, if you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean.
So. Oh, yeah. This is All the Fields Fantasy Podcast. And peace.
Peace.